Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. Our prescription today is all about reading to your children. This is something that is so simple, but that is so needed. And in today's world of screen saturation, yes, we do have access to some good digital media, but nothing beats a good snuggle, sitting next to your kids, reading out loud, turning the pages, looking at all of the bright colors. It's so good for their development. It is so good for your relationship. And that's what we're talking about. But before we get into that, let me tell you, I am convicted because maybe today you are feeling weary. Maybe it's the weight of work, of parenting, just the everyday struggles of life. Maybe you're just burdened by seeing all of the bad news that is on TV. Of course, our hearts go out to those who were impacted by the plane crash, and those images are just absolutely devastating to watch. And we certainly will pray for all of those involved and are so grateful for the first responders. Maybe it's just life feels heavy and you're wondering, am I doing enough? Am I being enough? Are things ever going to get easier? Is this season just now become my life? I don't know if you feel that way. I feel that way. And if that is you, I want to remind you of this simple truth. You are not alone. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is with us. He is with you wherever you go. And he sees your struggles. He hears your prayers, the ones that are whispered and that are just almost too painful to say out loud, those shouts of just need. And even on the days when you feel like you're falling apart, his grace is enough. So I want you to take a deep breath. The same God who made the universe, who spoke the world into existence, who calms the seas, who knows every tear on your head, who bottles every tear that you cry, knows every hair on your head. He is holding you and your family right now. And today it's important, as every day is, to lean into that hope, trading our worries for worship, trading our stress for surrender, trading our fear for faith. Because no matter what you're facing, God's love is greater. His mercy is new every morning, and he is writing a story of redemption for you. You are doing better than you think, I promise. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up here for encouragement. Keep loving, keep believing, keep working, because God is still working, sometimes in the quiet and sometimes in the chaos, but always with purpose. And these are the messages that we need to give our kids. And I was talking to one of my children the other day, and they said, Mom, it just seems like you're on the struggle bus. And I said, yep, I definitely am. But God is driving. And I'm very confident in that. I'm just going to sit here and wait until he stops and lets me off. And I know who holds that future. And those are the kinds of messages of hope that we need to give to our kids. And so I'm so delighted today to have back on the show Valerie Ellis, who's going to tell you how you can give those kinds of messages to your kids. Just like I gave to you, how do we encourage our kids in their faith? Valerie is a children's book author, a speaker. She's a co-founder of the multi-author blog, Our Everyday Parables. We've shared that with you before. That has book reviews and parenting resources. And she wrote a beautiful Lift the Flap Christmas book that we shared, Share the Joy, when she was on last time, and her husband, Josh, who is also in ministry. And today she has a new book to talk to us about. And we're so excited to hear about it. So Valerie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us all about your new book.
So Let's Go Bible Adventures uses modern transportation to tell Bible stories. And you might be thinking, how does that work? Well, it gets kids interested in Bible stories by asking silly questions. So they see the intro of a Bible story, and then there's a silly question. Did God save Jonah with a submarine? No. He used a big fish. And then there's 40 stories all with that kind of theme. And then they get to learn about not just the ancient transportation, but also the miracles of God and God's strength and love for them.
Well, how did you get inspired to write this? Because I think kids love silly questions. It's a great way to laugh. And especially in this world today that everything is so serious, I think silly questions are a great way to build bonds and to make Bible stories fun and come to life. So how did you come up with the idea for that?
Yes. So it actually started with the vehicles as the idea, even though I agree with you. I think silly questions are great for disarming kids and just making our homes more pleasant and fun and engaging their imagination. But I had a toddler who was obsessed with vehicles. And you all know how kids can get with vehicles, construction trucks, trains. And I learned so many vocabulary words that I never thought I would need to know. And then when it came to reading time, he also loved books. But when I would pull out a Bible book, it would just get the toddler veto. He was like, no, give me those car books. And so one day, it sounds silly, but it was also a sincere prayer of my heart. I said, Lord, why aren't there cars and trucks and trains in the Bible? That would just make my job as a mom who wants to point her kids to faith so much easier. And I kind of laughed at myself. But then I started thinking, I wonder if there is a way to engage them in that way. And so that's where the silly questions came in, because I knew as a mom, the last thing I would want is for a Bible story to be tampered with. That is not, you know, like what I wanted to bring to my kids, where I would have to end up reteaching them something. But then I thought, well, if we just ask silly questions, like, now, did Noah take a cruise ship with all those animals? And then the kids get to be the smart ones and turn the page and say, no, 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 it was the ark. Don't you know, mom and dad? So it's just a really fun way to get kids not just enjoying Bible stories, but hopefully actually asking, read this book to me.
Well, I love that, because you're right, Valerie. Trucks and trains have a little more allure to kids than oxen carts or whatever else might be in the Bible, those modes of transportation. And kids are so fascinated with things that go. And I also like that it gives them confidence, because, you know, that's a great way to answer questions that are contrary to our faith. It's a great way, I think, to introduce them to them developmentally, because we even think about, you know, what Satan said to Eve in the garden. Did God really say, you know, and it's that same kind of question concept. Hey, did God really say, is this what's true about your faith? And saying, no, 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 I know this. And having some of that confidence, I think, is just beautiful. Well, tell us a little bit. The book is called Let's Go Bible Adventures, which is so cute and catchy. I just absolutely love it. I'm already wishing that I had grandchildren. Oh, now my children are all groaning. They're like, mom, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. But I will find kids to read this too. But tell us a little bit more about the behind the scenes process and how everything went.
Sure. So each story is 8 rhyming lines. And so that part has stayed from the beginning, but now they also have a little fun fact at the end. And a refrain. So each story ends with something, and then it says, we're on an adventure with God. Let's go. With the idea that, you know, by the time you've read it with your kids, they'll be saying that part. Jesus loves me. This I know. We're on an adventure with God. Let's go. So when I started writing it, there were actually only 4 stories. And I thought, well, I found all the stories that I could with transportation that would be engaging for kids. But then as I've gotten, you know, as I got feedback from editors and critique partners, they really pushed me to like, no, there's more. You could go further with this, to where then we started including stories that didn't just have an ancient transportation counterpart, like the wise men and camels, but also the reveal could be a miracle of God. So, for example, did Jesus feed the 5,000 with food trucks? I mean, did they have tacos and barbecue? And being from Texas, you know, I had to work that in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No, no, no. God did a miracle. A boy shared his lunch, and although it was small, Jesus made more food, enough food for all. So the reveal can sometimes be just a miracle of God or someone finding their strength in God.
I love that. So how does sharing these stories help our relationships with our kids and help them to be closer to God? It seems like it would just make sense, and we know it, but We don't often do it, especially when life is so busy. And, you know, Valerie, I might step on some toes here, but I'm willing to be brave because I think I didn't grow up. I didn't raise my kids when they were really little. We didn't have this digital access like we do now. And I think it would be really easy just to push play on a screen or just have somebody else read it to them, have that interaction. And that does have its time and place. I mean, there's laundry that needs to be done. I remember those early days of parenting. But telling our kids the stories in our own voice with that interactive relationship moment, how do those help us to grow closer to our kids and point them to God?
Yes, well, I can get really excited about this and talk about it for a long time. I mean, the moment of just sitting with your child and whether it's cuddling up or if you're sitting across the table eating a snack or whatever it is, just having that one-on-one time, that eye contact, it really meets needs that kids never grow out of, which are security and affection. And so that, you know, in and of itself is easy to do. We don't have to think about, now I'm going to meet my child's needs for security and affection. We just open a book and it's happening. And it doesn't always have to look like that. You know, it can also be like they get tired after two pages and then you start acting it out in a silly way, or you find a different spot to snuggle that might be more interesting to them. I know not every child is just running for books like my kids were, but there are ways to work it in. And it's so good for them. You kind of mentioned at the top, even developmentally, even turning that page and having that artwork really up close where they can investigate it. And then, you know, you can also go deeper with questions and things like that to get them really engaged in the story. And that builds your relationship because you're the one sharing it with them. Like you said, it's not a screen or it's not someone reading, you know, to them, but it's you. And that really builds memories.
Well, how do you use those memories and those times together to spark conversation? Because that's important too. You want to read the story and the truth of the story, but there are questions that come from that and other conversations that can springboard from that based on how they receive it, how they react. And so how do you use those moments of connection to further the conversation?
Right. So that's really important. And I think that was a part that I actually skipped a lot as a parent because my kids loved rhyming books and I would just get caught up in the rhyme and keep reading and reading until the book was over and then the end. But, you know, stopping to look at the pictures and point to things when they're really small. And then as they get older, even, you know, just stopping and saying like, oh, that part surprised me, or I wonder what's going to happen next. It doesn't always have to be a deep lesson that you're stopping to talk about. You know, you're building that relationship by just getting their input. But then sometimes you can go deeper and you can ask something like, oh, well, where do you see God in this situation or in this picture? And just trying to get kids to build the habit of looking for spiritual lessons or looking for God's goodness in all kinds of situations, because, you know, they're not always going to be surrounded by spiritual things all the time. They won't always be in that context, but we can help them build that habit. And often when I would ask that of my kids, you know, I just have to be honest, they would just sometimes just look at me like, good. I don't know. And then I would find myself being like, well, you know, I don't really know either, but we're building the habit of looking for God. We're building the habit of asking those questions and, you know, getting each other's input. And that is really important. So I would say, you know, to encourage any parent, if you try this and it's not working at first, just to keep going, because building that habit is part of the memories and part of the bonding that they'll take from the situation.
You know, Valerie, you remind me of the time when one of my kids was younger and my husband and I would read him Bible stories, and he had so many questions, and it was exactly like what you said, like thinking, oh, wow, that is a really theologically tricky question. I don't even know that. So what we started doing, I have to give my husband all the credit for this. So he started keeping a notebook and he said, hey, let's keep a notebook of all of these questions that you have. And so he started writing them down. And then we called a friend who had a degree in, you know, theology, you know, I'm speaking outside of my knowledge here, but somebody who was way smarter than us, who was a pastor. And we said, hey, can we buy you lunch? We have some questions for you. And so my son sat down across from the pastor and opened the notebook and just started to ask questions and write answers. And he learned, and let me tell you, we learned a lot. It was such a great experience. And so if you're listening out there, Ben, thanks again for letting us buy you lunch. That was really, really helpful. We are going to give away a copy of this book, Let's Go Bible Adventures, to the first caller at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Valerie's here with me in studio. She will autograph it and write your name in the book. So call in and we would love to share that with you. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more hope and reading with your kids. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Wall Street to the small town barber, everybody in a dark place. Yeah. Crying tears like a river runs. No umbrella and you're caught in the rain. Running low on faith, can I get an amen? This is for when life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your anthem. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Up by Tarn Wells, and I hope that that message encourages you. If you are having a hard day, don't give up. We are here for you. We are cheering for you. We are praying for you. And we're talking with Valerie Ellis about the benefits of reading with your kids. That is a great way to boost your spirit. There are so many relationship benefits and health benefits to reading with your kids. There is science behind this. It helps their brain development. It enhances their language skills. It helps them to emotionally regulate as they go through the ups and downs of an adventure. It gives them empathy for situations that they're learning about. It helps them just experience emotions, and we can walk them through those emotions. Oh, yes, this character felt angry. Have you ever felt angry? What do you do when you feel angry? There's so many easy ways to translate that, and it really strengthens the parent-child bond. Listen, we are all busy. We are all living at the speed of a smartphone, but reading is quality time in a busy world. And if you've been listening to the show, we have a regular feature we're doing this year called the Declutter Diaries. And I'm sharing with you my journey to declutter. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've already told her, books are going to be way down the list because I am very emotionally attached to my books. But I love reading because it's such a great way to bond with our kids. Now, Valerie, I've read to my kids. I know you did too. All through, even when they were older. And I think this is an important thing because it's not like when my kids got a little older, when they started, my girls got in the tween years, and I started reading them this series of books by Robin Jones Gunn. It's a great series of book for tween teenage girls. It's called the Christy Miller series. And it's just a coming of age story about a girl who loves Jesus and also just feels awkward at school and, you know, those kinds of things. But I remember, just like you were talking about earlier, when I would read to my girls and, you know, we would maybe introduce a new concept, like maybe she was tempted to go to a party and their eyes would get really big, you know, and they would look over at me like, what's about to happen. And it was a great prompt to have conversation. Oh, well, you know, you think that might never happen to you, but it could happen to you. What would you do if that is there? And Valerie is equipping you to have those kinds of beautiful interactions with your kids. If you're watching on the video stream, this is such a beautiful book. It's a hardcover book. Let's Go Bible Adventures. It's got a tractor, a Jeep, a monster truck, a camel, a food truck. I mean, this just looks like a little kid would love, love, love this book. So Valerie, tell us a little bit more about your family and just your journey to be an author, because this isn't your first rodeo.
True. I have a 14 and 10 year old now, but when they were little, they loved all the construction, like I talked about. And so that was actually, this is the book I wrote first. So when this one got picked up, then I started, writing other ones. And the Christmas Lift the Flap book that you mentioned at the top actually was able to be produced first because it's, you know, several Lift the Flap pages, whereas this one is 40 Bible stories. Each story is two-page spread. So it's a lot of illustrating. Carolina did an amazing job with the illustrations, and the whole Tyndale team just did a great job putting it all together. But yeah, so that was this idea of wanting to interest kids in Bible stories through transportation, not by destroying the Bible story, but by just asking silly questions, is the thing that started my author journey.
Well, how has it impacted your faith? Because you're writing stories for children. And I shared with you just a minute ago that, you know, it's really important for us to share those foundational stories. All of the kids need to know Daniel and the Lion's Den and Noah's Ark and all of, and those stories and more that you read in here. But as kids grow, we have to be cognizant of growing them in their faith. And this is a great way to do that. And I shared with you that when my father-in-law first came to know the Lord, my daughter was of elementary school age. And she said, you know all of those Bible stories now. You need some meat. Those are milk. And now you need meat. And I'm sitting there listening to her thinking, okay, she's clearly been in Sunday school. And he said, well, what do you suggest? And she said, well, Noah gets drunk. Oh my goodness. That's going in the list of questions too. I have some questions about that too. But these are much more, this is a great way to start. So tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, just going back to what you said before the break about, you know, taking your son's questions to someone else, I think that's a wonderful way to show that we don't know everything, that we don't grow up and then all of a sudden we're done investigating God. You know, as parents or grandparents or caregivers, we are still learning, and it's great for kids to see that and for us to walk alongside them. So if you're thinking, I don't know Bible stories, then this is perfect because you can learn together. But, and just going back to, your question, I'm blanking now. Oh, about my faith journey.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Yes, definitely the process of trying to get this book published definitely had a big impact on my faith, as well as working on the book. So I'll start with working on the book. Mm-hmm. When I was writing these stories in rhyme and wanting to make them very digestible for the smallest ones, you know, I really had to take a hard look at what from these stories are things that we just in our Christian culture just say, and what is really from the Bible? Like, which lessons are, you know, intended from the Bible, and which are we taking a little bit of liberty with? So I actually went back to commentaries and everything just to make sure that what I was putting forth, because when you're doing something in a small amount of words, they really need to be the right ones. And so, you know, by saying commentaries, I don't want you to think there's like deep things in here. It's not. It's just that I wanted to make sure I was getting the right essence of each story and give parents and kids kind of a springboard to go deeper if they wanted to. So each story has a Bible reference that parents could read to, you know, get the backstory and then kind of go further with each story. There's lesser known stories in here as well as the favorites. So the milk and the meat are there in case your daughter's wondering. And then just as far as the process of getting it published, you know, I really, when I first started, I felt like it was just taking a tiny step. And I was really unsure because I had never thought, well, I want to be a children's book author when, you know, I get older. It was my kids and the books I was reading with them that really inspired me. And so I really had to learn to be honest with God. And, you know, it wasn't like I was consciously not being honest with God. I was just afraid to be honest with God because I thought, if I go all in and I say, Lord, I want this book to be published, I felt like I was trying to put God in a box. Like I was trying to say, or I was afraid that my relationship with God would become all about this journey, which I didn't want that either. But God showed me like the things I was trying to do to protect my relationship with him were actually harming it. What he wanted from me was just to be honest and take each step at a time and commune with him and for him to show me like, this is what I'm forming in you. Because no matter what kind of creative project we're taking on or what kind of work we're taking on, you know, we might be forming it, but it's also forming us. Mm-hmm. And so I really learned to like lay that before the Lord, still working on it. But, you know, that was a big takeaway for my faith.
Well, Valerie, that was pretty brave what you just said, that you were afraid to be honest with God, which if you think about it, it's so silly because he knows everything, right? He knows all of the intents of our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions before we even have them, before we even do them. And yet somehow having that open, honest communication with God can be really, really hard. That's something I've also learned in my faith, Valerie. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like I just start a dialogue with the Lord. Like, okay, good morning, Lord. What do you have for me today? And, you know, I was at a funeral for a really beloved lady who lived late into her 90s and was so full of life. And I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but the man who did the service said that he saw a little plaque on her desk that said, you know, dear Betty, I won't need your help today in solving the world's problems, so you have a good day. Like God, you know, but at the same time, he cares about us so intimately. And I was thinking about this too the other day, even just thinking like, oh, do we go before the Lord with this? But if you're a parent, you think about your kids coming to you, you want to know, you want to talk with them, you want to give them good things, you want to meet them where they are. And that's how God feels about us. And that's the lesson that you are giving through this connection in a book and having those kinds of conversations, like when life is hard, because life was really hard for a lot of these characters, we go to the Lord. How do you do that in your family with your kids, you know, getting older and in those teenage years? How do you keep them grounded to their faith?
That's such a good connection. And you know, now I mentioned they're 10 and 14, and I feel like we're at a new stage of building those bonds and building that trust. Just like you said, with this Let's Go Bible Adventures, parents of young kids can be doing that with the book, but then that continues to happen. And just this week, I've been thinking about how much open communication is just the key. And, you know, trying to explain to my kids, like, it might feel awkward to tell me something, but it's just going to be worse if you don't, you know? And I feel like the same is true with God. Like, it might be hard for me to admit like what my goals are and what my struggles are, but it's just a lot of wasted energy because he already knows and he's there ready to help and we can get through it together. And so that's what I try to express to my kids too. Like, it might feel awkward and hard, but we can get through it together. Whereas if you keep it in, you know, that could be a pitfall.
You know, I really am feeling very convicted, Valerie, about the connection between reading with our kids and having those kinds of hard conversations. Because so often, one of the most common questions that I get from parents is, how do I talk to my kids? How do I get my kids to talk to me? And I think so often just reading about something that maybe is not directly about you, not going straight to that conversation saying, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. You know, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling sad? Well, you know, let me try to fix it. But just having a conversation about a Bible story, about another character in their life, it makes that habit, I think, of having those conversations just be natural and just coming through story time and thinking, okay, oh, you know, I experienced something like this, because we could be looking at these Let's Go Bible Adventures and thinking, how does this ancient text relate to modern day life? And so how do you facilitate conversations that say the Bible is God's truth and it is just as relevant, even though they didn't have monster trucks, which, you know, maybe they had their own kind of version of that. I don't know. But maybe even if they didn't have that, how do we connect those ancient truths to our modern day lives?
Well, I think one of the keys is what we've been talking about with story and how stories affect our brains and, you know, cause us to have empathy and and to get into problem solving mode. You know, I was talking to a group of children's pastors about how sometimes when we read the Bible to kids, we are just looking for the lesson. Whereas, you know, I really feel like God definitely intended lessons, but also the story. The story is sometimes glossed over because we're trying to get to that end or because we're so familiar with it, you know, that we know the ending, we know it works out, or we know what happens, but trying to look at it through fresh eyes. So like maybe an author would, when you are trying to tell a story to any age of person, what kind of things do you bring out? You talk about the sensory details. You talk about the emotion. You talk about the motives of the characters and how they grew. And you talk about, you know, like you are saying, what they're going through, and looking at a Bible story that way, even if it's with a very young child, you could talk about, you know, I wonder what this character is feeling, and help them remember that this resolution wasn't guaranteed when the character was going through it. And it's just such a great way to engage as a family and really, you know, get that storytelling benefit from the Bible stories and not just the lessons.
You know, I think that's something that we can learn from Jesus because he was such a good storyteller. I mean, you think about the parables that he told and the story of the prodigal son. If you think about that, and especially the more, I think this is why it's really important, Valerie, that you emphasize that you wanted to make sure they were biblically sound, because we want to make them applicable to our modern lives, but not take away the theological truths of Scripture. That is really, really important. And there are some resources that can do that. And that's something that parents should be aware of and prayerful about as they're choosing resources to come into their home. But I feel like the more that I learn about, you know, the cultural context, the historical context, the more you can see how the storytelling that Jesus said was so vivid, was so powerful. I mean, imagining the prodigal son just coming, you know, being in the pig pen, literally, and then coming home with the fatted calf. Jesus did this. And so I feel like he gave us that example. Well, what do you hope that families will take away from Let's Go Bible Adventures, Valerie?
Well, I think a lot of what we've just been talking about. And the first thing is having those fun family moments. You know, we build our faith on our family culture. So just creating a culture of fun and love and openness. But then also a main theme through the book is, though our world has changed and, you know, they may have had oxen and carts and we have monster trucks and helicopters and all kinds of different things, but God's love never changes. It stays constant. It stays secure, and it's for us.
Well, I'm writing that down because that was a really good thing that you just said. We build our faith on our family culture. That is so very true. And so just building in to everyday life, just having a culture of reading God's word together. And even now, you know, my kids are adults, but one of my children and my husband are reading together C.S. Lewis, which, let me tell you, that is meat right there. That will make your brain do gymnastics. But they're still having those rhythms that they started early on, where he would read her Bible stories and they would talk about it. And now they're both reading that and talking about it. And we do a family devotional together, even though we're all away. We have the same Bible reading every day, and then we have a group text about it. So there's different ways that you can do it. When we come back, I'm going to ask Valerie, what is her favorite mode of transportation and what's her favorite story? And she's going to read that for you so that you can see exactly what we're talking about. We're going to live that right out in front of you. Hey, I want to congratulate Esther from Texas, who's going to get this very book in my hand. Hey, we'll see you back on the other side of this break.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. That is Goodbye Yesterday by Elevation Rhythm. And we are looking at tomorrow is the end of January. And I don't know about you, but it feels like January has been so long and so short at the same time. And I was talking to my daughter this morning and she said, yep, I looked at my calendar and I thought, wow, it's January 47th already. And that's kind of how it feels, right? Isn't that good? And it's I thought, that's how it feels. It feels like it's been forever. And yet yesterday was Christmas and I may or may not still have a Christmas tree about 18 inches to my right. Valerie, do not confirm or deny that at all. Do not tell my secrets because I'm waiting to say those on the Decluttering Diaries. But I've got Valerie Ellis in studio today, and I am thankful for her. That is something that I'm focusing on this week, being thankful. I hope you join in tomorrow. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and we'll be talking about our healthy habit of the week, which is gratitude. And it is so powerful. I like to call it vitamin G because it really can turn your life around. I'm working on it. I'm going to share about that tomorrow. But today, Valerie, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your new book, Let's Go Bible Adventures. I'm thankful for Esther from Texas. I know that's kind of obnoxious for me to say, right? But you know, somebody in my home state, I love it when people in other states win too. But congratulations, Esther, for winning that. And I told our listeners, Valerie, that I was going to ask you, I think it's really important for us to just read a couple of the stories that you have so that our listeners can get a feel for that. And they can also feel like, well, I'm not in the habit of reading to my kids. Well, it's really easy because you're going to do it right here. So I'm going to let you read your favorite story, your favorite mode of transportation, and your favorite story. Go ahead and take us to them.
Well, favorite is difficult because I have different favorites for different reasons. But I love this one because my kids really did love trains, and this one has a train in it. Also, it's a lesser known story that isn't in every children's Bible. And so I wanted to just, you know, bring that out of how we did it. And like Jessica said, it's very easy. It doesn't have to be complicated. So this one is called Naaman and Elisha from 2 Kings 5. And it says, Naaman was sick and he needed a cure. God's servant Elisha could heal him for sure. With helpers and gifts, Naaman had to go far. But there were no trains to pull car after car. So if I were reading this with a child, I might play that up and be like, now, did they have trains in the Bible? I've never heard of one. No, they didn't have trains. And then we could look at the pictures and see all the gold and all the things that Naaman was bringing to whomever was going to help heal him. And then you turn the page and it says, with horses and chariots, he found the right place. Though stubborn and proud, he discovered God's grace. The Lord God healed Naaman, his body and heart. Naaman was thankful and made a fresh start. And then there's a refrain that says, God can help us change and grow. We're on an adventure with God. Let's go.
You know, I love that story, Valerie, and it is a little bit of a lesser known story, but here's a fun fact. So that actually is the story that was being preached the day that I accepted Christ at a revival service. And I look back and I think, okay, Lord, of course you used a story about healing somebody who was sick and had, you know, was in need of healing. And then just looking at how my life has unfolded as a nurse. I love that because you're right. Some of those stories, like we know Daniel and Lion's Den or Noah in the ark or the story of creation, but that's a great way to encourage them and teach them about other stories. Well, tell us about your one with your favorite mode of transportation. I'm looking over at the desk here and I see this so beautiful Bible scene with a crane in the middle of it.
Yes. So if you haven't heard from the start of the show, the book uses silly questions to bring in the different modes of transportation. So it is silly to see a crane, a basket crane in this case, in the middle of this story. So this is from the New Testament, Jesus and Zacchaeus, one that we do often teach to kids. And it says, Zacchaeus, who cheated the people he knew, was there in the crowd to see Jesus pass through. Zacchaeus was short, though, so what did he use? A tall basket crane with its outstanding views?
No. He used a tree.
He used a tree. You're right. You're right. I can't trick you. He climbed up a tree, but the Lord called him down. I must stay at your house while I am in town. Zacchaeus said yes and then chose to do right. He gave up his old ways to walk in God's light. And like I said, each one has a fun fact. So this one is a little bit more of the end of Zacchaeus' story where he paid back the people. And then the refrain is, God's grace reaches high and low. We're on an adventure with God. Let's go.
I love that, because even that repetitive, just consistency, one of the things we've been talking about a lot on the show, Valerie, is how much in today's world that is chaotic, that is very fast paced, that kids really need consistency. And so often, you know, we as parents, we think in this social media world, like, oh, they need consistency. Okay, we'll have breakfast at 8:03. We'll walk out the door at 8:10. You know, we think of this overly prescriptive schedule, but consistency is something just like that, that you've put in the book. We're on an adventure with God. Let's go. What a great message to give to your kids, because whether you're reading that story or you're looking at it in your own life, as they start to encounter tragedy or trial or trauma or whatever it is, because none of us want our kids to go through difficult things, but having that, look, I just got goosebumps. You can attest. You're sitting right next to me. To have that built into our kids, like when something happens that's unexpected, thinking, we're on an adventure with God, let's go. I don't care if you're 4 or 40 or 140. That is some good truth right there.
I love that. And you know, that's the power of a refrain. And I love what you're saying about consistency. But another key of childhood that makes reading easy with kids is that repetition is good for them and they love it. So you don't have to have a ton of books and you don't have to get super creative. Kids will lead the way on that, but often the same book can work. And, you know, having a book with a refrain like this is something that kids will memorize. They'll memorize it before I do, and I'm the author. They will memorize it and they'll come up and say it to me. And then as parents, you could say that to them, you know, God's grace reaches high and low, baby. We're on an adventure with God. Let's go. That's something that will, I'm getting a little choked up. That's something that will resonate with them.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Sorry. I'm having a moment too. Okay.
And when we start at a young age, it just makes it easier. If you haven't started at a young age, there's still opportunities. So many good books for older kids too. But when we start at that young age, it just plants that seed.
It absolutely does. And I really am literally getting choked up because I think about how much our kids face in this world, Valerie. One of the other questions that I get all the time is, as you know, just a sentiment, just basically saying, how are people raising kids today? Because I'm thinking about when I raised my kids, there was no social media. There was, you know, there was not vaping or just all of the things that have come, all of the things that we're talking about. And they think, how in the world can you raise kids today? And see, this is where I'm getting emotional and getting goosebumps again. That's how, Valerie. That's how, because that timeless truth is there. And we know that God has made us parents for such a time as this. And he has called us to this journey and he will equip us. And one of the things I'm so grateful for, Valerie, is that he equips us through people like you who are just obedient in using your gifts and using your calling. And I'm sure it was hard for you. I mean, I'm sure you didn't, you know, start off when you were like 15 years old and think, one day I will be a children's author. I mean, that didn't happen, right?
Not at all.
How did that happen?
So, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because there were several moments. Well, and my sweet husband, Josh, you know, got to hear a lot of my complaining on the journey. It's a hard journey. And and one time he said, you know, sweetie, you don't have to do this. You know, you could just write it for our own kids and just that could be enough. And I thought about how much I thought this book will really help families, you know, like I said, help kids want to get into Bible stories. And I probably thought about it for like a beat, like maybe a second and a half. And I was like, nope, got to do it. So then all the complaining was behind me. And, you know, it's that mission. And I think, you know, the same is true of parenting and anything else we're doing. When we stay focused on that mission, it helps us to get through the hard things.
It absolutely does. So what encouragement would you give? Because I feel like, Valerie, there are some people out there who have some creative gifts, who have that little vision, or maybe it's a big vision that God has given them, that maybe they could use their talents to help, just exactly like you're doing, just give us tools as parents to help grow our kids' faith. What encouragement would you give to the person who's just thinking about that, but hasn't really taken any steps in that direction?
That's such a good question. And I love to encourage people in that, because like I said, I never thought that I would do this. And so I would say, you know, to like learn from me, be honest with God, let him be with you on every step of the journey. And, you know, also remember that, you know, you are stronger than you think. And when those times come where it is difficult, you know, also remember that God is forming us in this journey. So we're forming our creative work, like I said, but he is forming us. And so sometimes the fruit is what's happening in our own hearts when we can't see the fruit yet on the outside. But yeah, keep going, because it's not easy, but God is with you.
Well, and that's true for the truths that we're giving them as we're reading. I did like what you said too about repetition, because sometimes if you're in those days, I'm talking to all my toddler parents out there who, I mean, even to this day, it probably has been 20 years since I read this book, but I can still tell you, chicka, chicka, boom, boom, will there be enough room? You know, one told two and two told three. I mean, it is that repetition. But then I think about that and I'm convicted, and I think how many opportunities that we have to give that repetition so that those seeds are planted now, but that they're growing later. And so sometimes that can be hard, because you read a book and you don't see like, oh, okay, well, I've instantly just affixed your faith for life. You're welcome. It's not like that, but it is a seed that you see that grows over time. Has that been your experience too?
Definitely. And when I was the parent of the toddlers, I had such a hard time seeing like the long view. Yeah. And I thought, oh, if it's not happening now, it's not happening. So we had the ring stacker where you put the rings on the yellow, and my little one would just bang them together. And I wanted him to put them on. You don't have to be in order, but just put them on. And but you know what I couldn't remember in that moment is it's not going to be like that forever. They will get potty trained, and it's not going to be an instant thing. When you read a book and, you know, talk about your faith, it's not going to be instant, but step by step over time, that is what helps. I mean, I heard someone say, we think of children as a sponge. We often say children are a sponge, but they're really more like a grassy field. Mm. And as we make those repeated impressions over time, it does make a path.
Oh, absolutely. It does. And so I would encourage you, as you're listening, whatever stage of parenting you're in, you said that you couldn't have the long view. For me, I remember those early days of parenting, and the long view was like getting till 5 o'clock mm-hmm. when my husband got home from work. Like, oh my gosh, is it ever going to be 5 o'clock? And those are the longest days and the shortest years, though, when your kids are young. So whatever age or stage your family is at, if you're reading to nieces or nephews or grandchildren or your own children or children that you're serving in a church capacity, or even if it's your own inner child, because we all have that inner child inside of ourselves, and reading to yourself, reading those stories of faith, because we can say as adults that we don't like stories, but we absolutely do, because mm-hmm. otherwise, you know, cheesy Christmas movies wouldn't be like they are, or stories of adventure. And we look at media in that way, but we need to be reading the stories of God's word to nurture our own hearts and souls. And I think that too, don't you?
I totally agree. And you know, when we nurture our souls like that, we are building up our resources to then go out and serve and go out and face another day, like you've been saying. So definitely, I think that we can take in those stories, and it might seem like in the moment it's just for healing ourselves, but really God will make it for the world too.
And, you know, reading provides a really good bit of emotional security too. There's just something about the voice. I mean, I think even about my granny, who I talk about all the time, and I'm not even sorry, not even a little bit. I will talk about her for the rest of my life, but she read to me a lot, and I can still hear her voice saying exactly those messages of faith, even saying something like, you know, we would talk about something that was difficult, or, and she'd say, Jessica, this is just all going to be burned up in the fire. It's not going to matter one day. And that's such a silly way of saying it, but I can hear her voice, and it reduces your stress. Mm-hmm. It lowers your cortisol levels. It helps you sleep better, especially if you read before bedtime. We'll be revisiting this as one of our habits this year and talk more about the science of reading to your kids, particularly at bedtime. I've talked with Valerie about it before, so go back and catch her other show when she was on her shows. And we would love to talk to you about that. But just know that investing in reading to your kids, that's your prescription for hope today. Encourage is a love for storytelling, for learning. It's not just about books or stories. It's not about the story you're reading. It's about the story that you're writing in your family, and that relationship story that is forever. And so I just pray that you will do that. And I pray that you'll join us tomorrow as we talk more about gratitude. Like I said, I have a lot to say about that, because gratitude isn't just about being thankful when life is good. It's about finding that God is good all the time, even in the tough places. Even it's about choosing to see blessings, even the small ones, when life feels overwhelming. And it does to me right now, and I know to a lot of you, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. In the meantime, on this Thursday, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. And get your copy of Let's Go Bible Adventures and read to your kids. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.